Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Wednesday afternoon, January 8th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. A report on private sector jobs out today ahead of Friday's government employment report for December. You heard Nancy talk about that. We'll go in depth in our next segment. But right now, the Bears are at a crossroads searching for a new head coach, and also repeating their desire to build a stadium along the lakefront. Meantime, the University of Notre Dame is enjoying a banner season. Of course, you can catch that game tomorrow night, 7:80 a.m., when they take on Penn State. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Mark Gannis, president and co-founder of Sports Corp Limited in Chicago. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And before we talk about the Bears and the two big decisions they have to make, let's talk a little bit about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. At times, Mark, Notre Dame has been almost like an unofficial Chicago sports team. It is a bigger college football powerhouse in the Chicago area at times than the Big Ten teams that are nearby.
I don't know that I would qualify it with at times. I think Notre Dame is the dominant team, college football team, in Chicago, and has been for quite a while. Chicago, the South Suburbs, we've had a steady stream of players go from especially the Catholic schools to Notre Dame. How can any of us forget the movie Rudy and from Juliet Catholic and how that connection between Chicago and Notre Dame. So there's a very strong connection between the two. It's the sport. It's the Irish tradition, but it's also the way Notre Dame was always viewed for the working class in Chicago at the steel mills and the people who worked the stockyards and that kind of thing, an aspirational thing. So I think there's a very strong connection between Chicago and Notre Dame. And we've had some incredible business leaders in Chicago who went to Andy McKenna, who was the president of the Cubs and the White Sox, a part owner of the Bears, recently passed away, chairman emeritus. Crane Kenny, president of the Bears, is a Golden Domer. Great connection between the two.
So let's talk about those Chicago Bears and the two big decisions that are staring them in the face. The first is the coaching search. Some of the names are starting to dribble out that the Bears want to interview as head coaching candidates. As far as head coaching vacancies are concerned, even though the Bears have really had a rough go of it for the past decade or so, is this still beachfront property as far as coaching vacancies are concerned?
It is, and they have not gotten the value for that beachfront property over the past decade or more. This is arguably the best job in the NFL for a head coach. A lot of reasons for it. First is the market. Fan base are 1A and 1B. Also, you're starting with a franchise quarterback already in-house. That's very important as well. You've got a general manager in Ryan Poles who has shown with his work with the Kansas City Chiefs that he knows what it takes to build and operate a championship club. That's all fantastic. And I will add one more. You have ownership that sometimes gets criticized for being hands-off, but when it comes to getting a great head coach, that's a positive. It's a positive because the head coach wants to run, the best ones want to run the whole thing, and they would rather have ownership that provides them all the resources and doesn't interfere on the football side of things. And you have that in Chicago also.
And then very quickly, Mark, Bears leadership yesterday still believes they're going to have shovels in the ground for a new stadium later this year. Is that confidence justified and warranted?
It is possible. They certainly have to feel confident. They have to express confidence. I think it is a major challenge for that to happen on the preferred site, south of Soldier Field. If that is going to happen this calendar year, it would likely have to be one of the other alternative sites, Arlington Heights or potentially the old Michael Reese site, because there would be litigation that would hold up starting construction if they tried to push that on the south of Soldier Field site.
Mark Gannis, president, co-founder, Sports Corp. Limited in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, a report on jobs in the private sector out today.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Today's economic headliner is the jobs report on hiring in the private sector. Welcome in Bob Bruska, chief economist, Fact and Opinion Economics in New York. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And as is the case with every jobs week, the first set of numbers comes from ADP, the private payroll processor, and we always like to point out that the ADP report and the government report on Friday morning tend to go in wildly different directions because of different methodology. But the ADP report showed 122 new jobs for the month of December, down from the 146,000 in November and below the Dow Jones forecast. So what are we to make of this, Bob?
Yeah, well, there's some weakening there. It's the end of the year. You know, you have seasonal issues. I generally think that it's correct to say that there is a bit of a weakening trend in play for jobs. We, on the other hand, we see the jobless claims report released early today, extremely low, showing that there aren't many people being, you know, released from their jobs. So, you know, I think the job market is still pretty firm. It has slowed. It needed to slow. You can't keep cranking out 250,000 jobs a month forever with the population growth we have. So it still seems to be healthy to me.
And the ADP report also said that wage growth was at its slowest pace in nearly 3.5 years, and that has to be welcome news to the Fed.
Yes. And we'll see, you know, how sticky that's going to be as a result in the government report. Average hourly earnings growth has been higher and fairly steady. So I'm not sure that the ADP is the best gauge of that, although every piece of information is worth looking at.
And then when it comes to the fight against inflation, it seems like the Fed is maybe they're in transition as far as their strategy for 2025 is concerned. They already said they're slowing down the rate of rate cuts this year, going down to maybe 2 at the very most. And at the same time, they also have to take a look at the health of the job market. So if you see slow and steady job growth and inflation that's sticky and above that 2% target, what's a Fed governor to do?
Arguably nothing. But you know, Chris Waller gave a speech today where he talked about how he sees the dynamic, and he continues to see inflation going down. He sees some boost in productivity after having some givebacks during the early post-COVID period. But I'm really a little bit more concerned. We've had an awful lot of government spending under Joe Biden. We know Donald Trump doesn't really want to make the deficits smaller. He wants to cut taxes. That's going to make it harder to contract the deficits. He's looking to make government more efficient, but everybody's looking to make government more efficient. And so we'll have to wait and see whether there's going to be a fiscal background that it's going to be amenable toward making progress on inflation, especially with Trump talking about tariffs. Tariffs are not directly inflationary, but they raise relative prices, and they do raise, therefore, the potential for inflation risks in the short run.
And then very quickly, historically speaking, is December one of the weaker months for job growth just because it's the end of the year and new budgets kick in January?
Well, remember, all the data are seasonally adjusted. So what happens in January, of course, the not seasonally adjusted data show a sharp drop in jobs. People get hired for the holiday season and get let go in January. But the seasonal adjustment factor will boost them back up. You know, you tend to have more seasonal hiring in December than not. But that, again, may have been changing in recent years, particularly with the advent of online shopping. So changes are occurring in the regular seasonal factors. That makes the numbers generally a little bit less reliable.
Bob Ruska, Chief Economist, Fact and Opinion Economics in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, doing your homework on a potential choice of college.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday. In this segment, we're discussing the financial stability of small colleges and making sure they pass the test before enrolling at one. Let's get some help from Ed Jurtzen, Certified Financial Planner, founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Find them online at theengagewealthgroup.com. Ed, thank you for joining us today. And in all of the college planning segments that we do on this show, Ed, the emphasis usually is on making sure your family's financial house is in order before you file the forms and see what kind of tuition assistance you can get. But we're going to flip the script today, and that is, as part of your college search, you got to make sure the college has their financial house in order as well.
Hey, Rob, great to be with you. And what a great topic to start off the year, because many of us haven't really thought about this in years past. But, you know, given the trends, especially starting with COVID and the financial trends with these institutions, this is something parents and students really need to take into consideration when selecting their next step in their academic career.
And on top of that, this is a very particularly germane topic because a lot of smaller schools are finding themselves in financial difficulty just because increasing numbers of high school seniors are foregoing college for just some other career.
Yeah, and so when we're talking about the next step, again, when they're going into that next step in terms of their college career, you know, post-academics, you know, looking at a large college. So the likelihood of a large institution either folding or going under is very, very low, but especially raise your due diligence when you're looking at small, let's say, private institutions, because those are the ones that may struggle most with, again, making sure that their finances and their financial house is in good order to meet, again, those needs of those students, not only today, but well into the future.
Now, what are some things that you can do as a parent, or if maybe you're a student listening, how do you go about investigating a potential, a college's financial situation?
Well, this can be done. The research can be done from the comfort of your home and on a computer. You know, you can go in on a search engine and look up news stories for different kind of financial situations or financial news stories, because normally this doesn't occur overnight. But one great way to kind of look at is most institutions issue debt, right, to pay for a variety of different things. And Moody's has a great research website. And all you have to do is type in Moody's public colleges and universities in the United States, and it'll show you all the different ratings that they have on their bonds, because when institutions issue bonds, if they're not able to meet the obligations of those of that debt, Moody's is going to give them a rating. And what you want to avoid are institutions with very low ratings or institutions where you see multiple bond rating decreases. This is one of the variety of ways to kind of seek out that institution to make sure that their financial house is in order. Because, again, this might not only impact the student today, but let's say years down the road, they're seeking a job, but your university is closed. That might not be a good reflection on your academic career.
Ed Jurtzen, Certified Financial Planner, founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Find them online at engagewealthgroup.com.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Massive wildfires in California are causing death and destruction. A special report from CBS News coming up. Former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan back on the witness stand at his federal corruption trial. It's Personal Finance Wednesday, taking control of your finances with a new year reset. Wildfires in California causing deaths and bringing massive devastation to property. We'll have a live report from California coming up at the end of the business hour. Business, the markets are mixed right now. The Dow is up 4.5. The NASDAQ is down a fraction, and the S&P 500 up 2.5. We have 24 degrees right now in Chicago under partly sunny skies. It's 12:31. CBS News special report. Ferocious Santa Ana winds are fueling at least three large wildfires in Southern California. At least two people have been killed. More than 1,000 structures have been destroyed. 28,000 more are threatened. Los Angeles County Sheriff Robert Luna says his deputy's top priority is saving lives.
There are over several hundred sheriff department personnel working around the clock to evacuate residents in danger, assist with road closures, and respond to multiple missions.
70,000 people have been ordered to evacuate. L.A. County Fire Chief Kristen Crowley says crews are struggling to battle the wind-whipped flames. She put out a call for off-duty firefighters to help.
We have several firefighters and civilian injuries that have been reported, and all patients have been treated and transported to the local hospitals.
CBS's Dania Backus is in Los Angeles.
It's hard to see, hard to breathe, and hard for firefighters to contain. Worst of all, the wind.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace. It's 12:32. Former House Speaker Michael Madigan back on the witness stand today at his corruption trial in downtown Chicago. The Tribune reports Madigan says he was taken aback when former Chicago City Council member Danny Solis told him developers of a condo project in the Loop understood the quid pro quo implications of hiring Madigan's law firm. Solis is testifying as a witness for the government under a deferred prosecution agreement. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are slightly higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Shah Galani, Chief Investment Strategist, ManwordPress.com in Sarasota. Shah, thank you for joining us today and taking a look at how the three major indices have been doing today. It's like looking at a roller coaster at Busch Gardens, just going up and down all day long.
Well, I think the net effect, Rob, is that we're looking at flatlining, and that's understandable because investors are extremely, and for a little bit of time now, at least since probably mid-December, after the towards the year-end rally turned into what should have been a Santa Claus rally, saw or watched rates starting to rise precipitously. They're now wondering in the new year, are they going to continue to rise? So investors are trying to figure out, do they take profits as they did towards the very end of the year? Do they look to buy this dip? And really, I think it's going to come down to if yields continue to rise, I think we might see some more selling in the market.
The 10-year yield is 4.7% right now, which is basically wipes out any interest rate cut by the Fed. The federal funds rate has gone down by a full percentage point since September, but the bond market has run up in equal measure. And what story is that telling?
That's telling us that the bond vigilantes, the traders who look at the premium that they want to be and need to be paid to hold treasuries in a rising rate environment, they're demanding more yield. I think that speaks to the fact that if inflation is not yet under control, if fiscal spending continues and is likely to continue with a new Trump administration, if we get less regulation, if we have tax cuts, then there's going to be more stimulus and there's going to be more fiscal spending. That means there's going to be a higher chance, at least, of increased inflation. I think we're going to see another round of it. If not, we're not going anywhere lower. And bond investors are looking at that and saying, well, look, the economy is strong. Things are good. The labor market is strong. Everything is so far so great. And into that, we're going to see more spending, and Treasury issuance is going to continue at an unabated pace. We're looking at interest on the national debt approaching $1 trillion a year. interest costs. And investors, bond investors, are looking at that, and they're going to demand higher and higher premiums to hold treasuries.
And how is that going to impact equities going forward?
Well, equity investors are looking at the option of switching over to fixed income with less risk. As far as fixed income goes, a lot of investors look at the earnings yield on the market. And the earnings yield is how much profit companies are making relative to their stock prices. Right now, that earnings yield is about 3.7% on the S&P 500. You can get the 10-year, you can have a 10-year pretty much no risk if you think that treasuries are risk-free, as they're supposed to be, for 4.7%. You're getting a lot more with less risk than you are getting in equity market. Now, that's the way investors are looking at it. The days of TINA, there is no alternative, meaning equities were the only way to go because there was no substantial yield offered to investors. Those days are over. And investors are now looking at, well, especially older, generally speaking, baby boomers who are retiring or close to retiring. Traditionally, they'd be moving into fixed income. There was no reason to. Now there is.
And then very quickly, the Jobs Week 2 step is underway. Step number one, the ADP report out today, slightly under analyst expectations. Your take and your prediction for the government report on Friday morning.
Well, labor markets are strong, and I think the takeaway from strong labor markets, most importantly, is that wage growth remains elevated. That wage growth is around 4%, and if we continue to see wage growth and labor markets continue to be strong, even if there's some softening here and there, the overall picture for the economy looks pretty good so far. And until we see that turn around, I think the labor market's going to remain strong. That's going to put pressure on the Fed. It's unlikely now that they'll even cut two times in 2025. So equity markets are looking at all that. The hoped-for relief in terms of lower rates, that's not on the front burner anymore.
Shah Gilani, Chief Investment Strategist, ManWordPress.com in Sarasota, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, starting off the new year with a financial reset.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday, and as the new year gets rolling, it's a perfect time to conduct a review of your investments and your money strategy. Let's get some insight from Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive of VestGen Wealth Partners in Inverness and Downers Grove. Find them online at GetRetiredStayRetired.com. Craig, thank you for joining us today. And we run down the list of New Year's resolutions. And the most common one, of course, is I'm going to get in shape this year. And I would imagine the second one is I'm going to get my financial house in order. But Craig, you probably have to break that down into a number of different categories. So when someone comes to you and says, I want to get my finances in order and make sure everything is on track for my retirement and to pay for college and to buy a new house and this, that, and the other thing. What's the first thing they want to tackle?
Well, you know what? We talk about a new year and a new you, and we unlock everyone's meaningful purpose. Rob, what is your why? Why are you seeking improvement? And once we embrace that why, then we can take the first step, which is to start tracking our cash flow. Because when we budget and when we tell our money where to go instead of wondering where it went, that's the key to unlocking savings and discipline. And the B word should no longer be bad. The B word for budget should be strong and encouraging.
And really, it seems like setting a budget may be the most elementary way to approach life, either for yourself or for a couple or for your family. But it sounds like very few people actually set a budget and stick to it.
You're right. So many people talk about the concept, but far too many people fail to create the discipline. And I say again that when we start telling our money where to go instead of wondering where it went, everything falls in line, including the next step, which is securing that emergency fund. If you work for a company, you have a W-2, you have to have at least 3 months of money put away. If you're working in the gig economy, working as an independent contractor, that emergency fund needs to be at least 6 months. And once we have the budget, once we have the emergency fund, then we can get to the really critical piece, which is knocking down that debt.
And when we talk about paying down debt, are we just referring to simply paying off any credit card balances you may have?
You know, my version of debt is this. If it's giving you a financial hangover in 2025, then it's got to go. And most people's mortgage isn't creating the hangover. It's the unsecured credit card debt. It's the personal loan. It's those items that you mentioned. And the single best strategy, bar none, because it's about psychology. Right? It's intelligent quotient and implementation quotient. It's a different form of IQ, is if people use the debt snowball, they'll find a way behaviorally to cure that debt in a reasonable period of time.
And then if you want to tackle your debt hangover in 2025, we talk about the debt snowball. What is the kind of easiest way to start doing that in a way that's sustainable?
Simple. You're going to write down all of your debts from smallest to largest. You're going to put them on a piece of paper. Then what you're going to do is you're going to attack that smallest debt with a vengeance. You're going to make the minimum payment on everything else and throw everything you can at that smallest balance. And when you do that, that small balance gets paid off quickly. And then you move to the next smallest balance, throw everything you can at it, pay the minimums on the other. And now all of a sudden, you're taking a Sharpie, Rob, and drawing a line through small debt number one, small debt number two, working your way to debt number three, and it creates an exciting environment of success.
And then lastly, invest in your future. And of course, that is saving for retirement. And multiple times we have talked about how the earlier the better when it comes to saving your retirement, that you may enjoy pocketing that $250 or $300 that goes into your 401k account. Years and decades down the road, that could end up being a $150,000 or $200,000 dollar hit. So if you're going to get your retirement back on the rails, what are some things you can do?
Simple. I've seen loans for everything. I've yet to see a loan for retirement. So given so many people might be experiencing a positive cost of living adjustment at work, meaning an increase in pay, the first step should be, if you're not currently maximizing your workplace retirement plan, and maybe you're lucky, maybe you're getting a 2%, a 3% pay increase, I want someone to take maybe 1% and start deferring an additional 1% this year into that 401k, 403b, Illinois Secure Choice Plan to hit that savings target that you just mentioned is going to create the miracle of compounding for everyone listening today.
Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive of VestGen Wealth Partners, Inverness and Downers Grove. Find him online at GetRetiredStayRetired.com. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. And still to come, deadly wildfires in California causing wide-scale damage.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Multiple massive wildfires are roaring across the Los Angeles area, killing at least two people and causing massive destruction of property. Let's get the latest now from Elise Preston, CBS News correspondent in Los Angeles. Elise, thank you for joining us today. What is it like in the Los Angeles area right now as the Pacific Palisades wildfire continues to rage? If you're outside of the fire zone, what is the air quality like in LA today?
Well, Tom, it is incredibly hard to breathe. I've been coughing all morning just because this wind is kicking ash all over the place. We're seeing winds at 100 miles per hour, and that's why these fires are so devastating. It's not just the Palisades fire, but there are four wildfires now. One that just kicked up about maybe 2 hours ago, but there are four separate wildfires burning, three that are of great concern, but three have a more serious concern right now. The Palisades fire, where we are right now, has already consumed more than 1,000 structures. So it is really going, and these winds are making it very difficult for firefighters to fight.
Now, the January wildfire is a rare occurrence in Southern California. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, it is rare. And people have said they've never seen anything like this, especially with these winds. That's what's making it so difficult. But again, three wildfires, well now four, that are burning. People have been forced to flee their homes. We're talking about tens of thousands of people that have had to leave all of their belongings, leave their homes where they have countless memories. They've had to leave everything behind and just leave. This area is under a state of emergency as firefighters from multiple states respond to try to get these fires under control, because right now they are 0% contained.
I was just about to ask, any indication that these fires are close to being under control? And does it really hinge on the winds changing, that those 100-mile-an-hour wind gusts, they have to die down or change direction before firefighters can have any chance at containing the fires?
Yeah, it's just before 11 o'clock here in L.A., and these winds are expected to continue for the next several hours. And so we have actually had to move position. Our crews, we've had to move position because we've been somewhere and then like an ember kicks up within moments. You're seeing a really big flames erupt. And so you have to get out of there. And so it is a very dangerous situation. And these winds are not expected to stop anytime soon. So we're not sure what this situation could be come this afternoon, despite all the efforts of firefighters who are trying to get these flames under control.
Well, stay safe, Elise Preston. Thank you for bringing the story to us. Elise Preston, CBS News correspondent, covering the wildfires in Los Angeles. If you missed any part of today's show, just go to our stream and skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.